This is Cat's Podcast, episode number 25. Welcome back to my podcast. Welcome, my friends. Welcome, everyone who's tuning in for the first time. Thank you so much. I'm Cat, I'm your host, and this is another Freedom Lifestyle edition. Those of you who have been listening know what I'm talking about. In the Freedom Lifestyle edition, I'm interviewing people who have a very special connection to freedom, who are driven by a quest for freedom, and who oftentimes live in a rather unconventional way. And in these times, I've interviewed lots of people who are, as most of us are, stuck at home, but who are still able to create a sense of freedom, keep up their freedom, and also explore new levels of freedom. So these Freedom Lifestyle editions are really there for you, to inspire you, to show you that there are different ways of living and that we always have the ability to create freedom and to explore freedom and keep up our own freedom. Today, however, I have the great pleasure to talk with someone who is not at home, but in Mexico. Today I'm talking to Christina Spürger. She's a young German photographer and she's in Mexico right now, which is actually super cool to have someone on the show who's not locked down but exploring the world. Christina is a digital nomad. She's been traveling for almost 6 years, and not even 2 years ago, she decided to quit her stressful job. She had an online marketing agency and go for her real passion, becoming a photographer. And this is one thing we talk about, how to take that leap of faith and do what you love professionally, and how to learn from life experience and really do what you're passionate about. We also talk about, of course, Christina's own story and how her freedom lifestyle developed and how it looks like, the three development stages of her way of digital nomadism, traveling, working remotely, and staying mentally healthy, how to divide work and travel, the magic of slow travel and staying in a place for a longer period, core values and setting priorities to live better, happier, and with more freedom, tips on how to work and live in more alignment and be less stressed, creating space and setting mental boundaries around your business. That's a super important one, not only for digital nomads, but really for anyone who works as a freelancer, who has their own business, for solopreneurs who have this like constantly spinning mind around their business. And it's so crucial to set these boundaries. I'm speaking from experience, so. And then we dive into one aspect of digital nomadism that is not so often talked about, that is not the first thing that pops into your mind when you think about digital nomads. It's the longing for deeper connections, the longing for community and a home base that will eventually come up, you know, when you're traveling or have been traveling for a longer time. It's something that comes up. And Christina is walking us through her process, what has been on her mind, and how this new side of digital nomadism is also connected to redefining what's important, what matters to you. So without further ado, enjoy this conversation with the amazing Christina Spürger. Welcome to my podcast, Christina.
Thanks for having me.
And the funny thing is, I just realized that you're the second branding photographer in a row. So my last podcast guest, Julie Guile, she's also a branding photographer. And I thought, oh, wow, that's funny. It wasn't planned, but I kind of like it. So to give you and the guys out there a little introduction to this second Freedom Lifestyle series we're in here on my podcast, I've talked with my guests, I've talked a lot about freedom at home, and how we can keep up our freedom in times of outer restrictions, you know, in times of lockdown and not being able to travel. And so I've interviewed a lot of people who are stuck at home and who really make the most of it and who give amazing tips for how we can keep up this feeling of freedom and maybe also explore the inner realms of freedom in these crazy and restricted times. But now with you, it's actually so nice to have someone on here who is currently not at home. So tell us, what brought you to Mexico in these crazy times?
Yeah, so I was this year in Bali during the time of the lockdown. I arrived there in March this year and everything just shut down within a week. So I stayed there for half a year. And then I went back home to Germany because I was thinking, well, during summer, it might be easier to travel back home, see my family and use the time. And then the original plan was to go back to Bali. But unfortunately, it takes a little bit of time because I'm currently setting up a company there to actually get the visa and go back in. So Mexico was kind of the alternative because my partner is from the US and has a residency here. So we just thought if we pick another location, then Mexico is great. It's super nice weather here, similar to Bali. It's a big community of entrepreneurs and digital nomads. So it was a great, opportunity instead of going to Bali instead.
That sounds like a good opportunity. Oh, amazing. So that's cool that your partner's got a residency there. That's handy.
Yeah.
So how long are you staying all in all in Mexico?
I'm going to be here until end of January and I arrived here in October. So around 4 months in total.
That's a good time. I always find it's nice to go to destinations for longer time, so maybe 2 months minimum. And
definitely. It's nice to slow travel and to get to know people and to get to know the culture and actually feel like you're settling into a place rather than just being a tourist and jumping quickly around.
Yes, definitely. And I'm sure we're going to touch on that later when we're going to talk about home bases and communities and everything. Mm-hmm. But for now, to give people an impression of who you are and why and how you're living your version of a freedom lifestyle, how did it all start for you? And if I'm not mistaken, for you, there were like two phases, right? So the phase where you started traveling and then later on, there was another shift in there.
So I started traveling in 2015 as a backpacker. I went on a work and holiday visa in Australia and I only planned to stay there for 5 months and go back to Germany and go and study and, you know, have my career and get into a normal kind of job. But then being in Australia, it kind of really opened my mind to travel and what kind of other things are possible. So I extended my stay there and I kept on traveling for almost 3 years. But I was working in hospitality and having jobs here and there. And I was always working seasonal, basically, and making money, saving up money, and then travel, and then ending up broke again. And after, like 2.5 years or something like that, I really started to get tired of it. And I was in a yoga retreat in Sri Lanka in 2017. And it was the first time that I met someone that was making money off of social media. It was a girl, she was a social media manager. And my mind was just like, I was blown away by the idea that you can actually work online and you can, I mean, I always heard of like influencers or superstars that make money off Instagram, but I didn't even realize that there is such a thing as social media managers. And so that kind of sparked the idea of somehow working remotely. And I went in 2017 back to Germany, and I was super naive. I had no clue what I was doing, but I just set my mind, I'm going to make money online. So I bought myself a laptop. I was saying, okay, in the next 2 months, I'm going to get my first job or my first client. And again, like, I didn't have any clue of what I wanted to do or how a social media manager is working. And I started my first blog, which was in German. It was about traveling and conscious living. And so I got some experience in how to build a website and a little bit of social media stuff. But then I almost was broke again. So I had to get back into a normal job for 3 months to work again, save up money. And then in January 2018, I packed up all my stuff and I went to Thailand, to Chiang Mai. And I'm sure you know, or I don't know if you've been, but Chiang Mai is just one of the places that you go if you want to meet other people that work remotely or live that kind of lifestyle. And yeah, so that was kind of the changing point for me in working remotely. I started out as a social media manager, and I got my first a client who was a YouTuber, and I was doing influencer marketing. And yeah, from there, that was, yeah, beginning of 2018. So since then, I've been working remotely. And I started getting more into online marketing, trying out so many different things and trying to build up a marketing agency, which was very, very difficult to do because I ended up working a lot. And I remember I was sitting last year in, I think it was around March, in Bali, and I was just constantly in the co-working space, working, doing project management and kind of handling the freelancers that I was working with. And I got so burned out from, constantly working and living in a tropical place like Bali, but not having the time to go to the beach. And that's when I would say my third kind of shift happened, which was, okay, so first I started traveling. That kind of opened my mind. Secondly, I started working remotely, which gave me a lot of freedom. But then the third kind of breaking point was doing work that I'm actually passionate about and that I really, really love. And for me, that was photography. And I always had this kind of blockage in my mind that with photography, you're always going to struggle financially, and artists in generally, can't make much money. So I took a month off, canceled all my clients, and just really sat down and worked on these limiting beliefs. And then I switched into photography, which was last year in May. And so now I'm kind of combining my skills of online marketing and photography into doing personal branding photography. So I still work with digital nomads and entrepreneurs and business owners. They are still my clients. But now I'm a photographer and I work with people also in person. And there's much more space to be creative and, yeah, have people face to face, which I really, really enjoy. And that is still enabling me to work location independent because I'm still traveling. I'm still going to all the places that I love. And yeah, that's my story. That's my background.
That sounds amazing. And I actually want to touch on a few things here, because when you were describing your three phases, I'd say, traveling and then seeing, okay, I also want to work while I'm traveling. And that was the next step, creating this remote work space for yourself, being able to work remotely and not being fixed to a certain location. And it's actually interesting because I think it's something that you see quite often with digital nomads, that you sit there, as you said, in this tropical paradise, but you don't see a lot of that paradise because you're constantly working. And I wouldn't say that I made the same experience, but I can relate to that because I somehow got aware of it. So I tried to divide my time, basically dividing it into working in Europe. And then when I was in New Zealand, I would just enjoy New Zealand. So that was my division of the year of work and leisure. But I mean, that will be one option. And then there's the option you explained as your third phase, where you said, okay, actually, for me now, the key was to find work that I'm super passionate about, that doesn't feel like work and that I can do anywhere. And I definitely want to talk about that more. But you also said working, and having your own agency, and you phrased it so cool in our pre-chat, and the pre-chat of this podcast. You said you basically had a burnout in digital nomadism. So what would you say, are there any tips from your side for people who might be experiencing something like that, or who might be in danger of going there? Are there any signs or any things that you would say, okay, if you're experiencing this, watch out?
Well, I think one part is, you know, we are working remotely because we want to not do work anymore that we don't enjoy. So I would say, if you're doing work and you really have to kind of force yourself to do the work, and obviously there is always things, you know, when you're self-employed, there's maybe bookkeeping that you hate or stuff that you might not enjoy, which is part of being self-employed. But, you know, if you always kind of have to force yourself to do the work, I think that's definitely one sign. What I also realized is that I was super stressed and I couldn't relax anymore. Like on the weekends, I would not be able to switch off. I would often also work on weekends. So I think that's generally not even just with working remotely, but being self-employed, I think, it's very hard to, in the beginning, especially to kind of, divide between business and personal life. If you're like constantly in the stress mode and you can't switch off, I would say that's a big one as well. Otherwise, to me, the biggest one was I was just not enjoying the work that I was doing. I did in the beginning. I definitely did in the beginning, but I think there's something around like core values, like what do you actually value? And like, how do you want to spend your time? And to me, I just realized that I don't want to spend 10 hours a day sitting in front of a screen. I think maybe something that can be helpful is like figuring out your values and how you actually want to spend your time. I hope that was helpful.
Yes, definitely. I think that was definitely helpful. And also what you said about that you couldn't relax anymore on weekends. It's really a trap when you're working self-employed and when you're building up your own business, because you're constantly in this thinking spiral, because it's also intertwined. It's you and it's a part of you that you want to bring out there and that you're working with. And so I can totally relate to that, because I've had that recently, and it's like, oh, you really have to find these inner boundaries where you say, okay, no, I'm just going to not think about the business side as much as I love it, but I'm just going to do something else, or maybe just stay off social media for a day. And this can be so refreshing, I find, and so grounding and centering.
Yeah. I definitely also now schedule in time. So, for example, going for a sunset walk and enjoying nature, that's for me now something super important that I actually schedule in, just as if it's like a business meeting. or this weekend, I went with my partner to Cozumel, which is an island off of Playa del Carmen, for 2 days. And we just didn't touch our laptops, didn't work, didn't really talk about work. We were a lot off our phones, and, you know, just really planning in that time, I think, is super important. So, yeah.
Definitely. And now, talking about living your passion, I mean, that's super courageous of you to say, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'm taking that leap of faith and I'm doing what I love. Although I don't have an official certificate in this, and I don't have a university degree. And I think that's a lot of times the thing that holds us back, that we don't think we don't have the expertise to do that. You know, we don't have this golden stamp or the approval. And what helped you? I mean, you were touching on overcoming limiting beliefs. What did really help you to do this? Is there like a golden rule that you stuck to, or are there any tips for anyone really contemplating making such a move or changing their career and life paths?
So I think it was kind of a process, I would say, to understand. And I think, especially as a German, you kind of have that mindset that you need to have a certificate, or you need to have that university degree or something like that. So I think it's a cultural thing. And it took me a while to understand that that's not how the world works, and especially not the self-employed work, because I met a lot of people that on my travels, even before I ever heard of remote work, people that have completely turned around their life and do something that they're passionate about. So I think that's one part. Second part is, I've always been bad in school. I've never went to university. I've always been a very bad student. And I realized that I learned so much better, one, teaching myself, and two, being practical. And I think, you know, there's different types of people, but to me, I think understanding how you learn is really helpful. And understanding also, like, I've met people that studied marketing, online marketing, in university. And after working 1 year remotely, they were not at the point that I was after working 1 year remotely. And I think, you know, especially in online marketing, there's so much changing. Whatever you learn in university, you know, even half a year later, algorithms change, and, the online marketing world is changing. And also just understanding how much content is out there to learn from people, like online courses and blogs and podcasts and so much stuff to learn from. And maybe the last thing I would say, for me, I've always known that I was good at photography in the sense I had an eye for it, but I didn't have a clue about the technical side of it. I've had a camera, but it was like a beginner's camera, and I didn't really even know how to use it properly. Yeah, one thing that really helped me was getting together with other photographers and videographers and creatives, so surrounding myself with other people. And then also I gave myself the goal of 2 months. I had a 2 month deadline, and I wanted to see if I can make enough money of my photography to just cover my expenses. And the goal was to the goal was to make $1,500, and in Bali you can live very cheaply. So I set myself the goal: can you make this within 2 months? And set myself the deadline. And if I wouldn't have been able to make it, I would have gone back to online marketing. So I think setting myself that goal and really working 2 months like crazy on it was also super helpful.
That's pretty strict. Wow. I'm impressed.
That's probably the German coming out in me.
I love it because I'm German too. And so when we have these moments of like, okay, that's probably very German.
Yeah. But I think I'm a very big procrastinator and it has gotten better over the years. But when I set myself a deadline, it's so much easier for me to work towards a goal.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I should do that more often, I guess, because I'm also a procrastinator and I'm really working on that. So yes, deadlines definitely help. Yes.
Yeah.
You said something before. Mm-hmm. You said, oh, then finally, you know, switching to photography, doing what you love, working on or in the realm that you're so passionate about, that finally gave you the space to be creative. Mm-hmm. And I love that image. And it's something that I find that in a regular job or in a nine to five, but probably also when you're more hustling than really creating from your heart or from a place that feels good, it's so easily suffocated, this creativeness, this creativity. So I love that you touched on that. And I actually just want to take it as an invitation for anyone listening to really create more space in their lives and to tap into this new room for creativity. And that was interesting for me. It was something that came that I've never experienced while I was still properly employed in this communications agency in Berlin. It came only later when I was working as a freelancer that I had more time, more space, that I could be more flexible with my time. And then I would have the space where good ideas come, where you literally feel that there's new creativity coming in.
Definitely having this space and just being in like random moments, you know, you go for a walk or you have your yoga practice or you do, I don't know, you sit around and just looking out of the window and sometimes just amazing ideas come. And when you're constantly in stress and you're constantly, in work that you don't really enjoy doing, I think you don't have the space to have that creativity flowing through you and to have new ideas coming.
Yes, I think so too. So what would you recommend? I mean, you said you're scheduling actually in, you know, sunset, beach walks or walks in nature, yoga. So what would you recommend for people who say, oh, I don't know, where should I start creating more space?
So I think, we all always have this feeling that we need more time in our day and, you know, we don't have the space for things. So one thing that I've learned is setting priorities. I think we waste so much time on things that are not important to us. And when I hear people that, you know, have their full-time job, I fully understand that, you know, you spend a lot of time on it and you have your work to do. And so it's harder to create space for other things, but making it a priority, I think, is super important. And we all have the same amount of time in a day. And sometimes, I mean, depending on what the goal is, but for example, when I was in 2017, going back to Germany and having this job for 3 months, I was working 6 days a week and 10 hours a day. And I was writing my my blog on the side, basically. So I made time in the morning before work and I made time in the evening after work. And it was for me a creative outlet. And it was something that I was working on for myself on the side. So I think just setting priorities and For me, also what is super helpful is I schedule things into my calendar. And, you know, sometimes we lose time like scrolling on social media or watching a movie and stuff like that. And when you want to make space for yourself, then you just cut out these things and schedule in time for however you want to have your creativity come out. This could be, I, for example, love drawing mandalas, and sometimes I schedule in time for that. Or it could be photography, it could be painting, or it could be so many different things, writing or whatever it might be. So yeah, just making it a priority and scheduling out that time.
Yeah, I love that. I think so too. It's a lot about priorities and what really matters. And when you're honestly asking yourself that question, there's probably a handful of things sticking out, but all the rest is just like stuff that you think that is important, but it's not really important. Maybe it's urgent or masquerading as urgent or important, but it's actually not. So yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, and that goes back again to your values, right? Like what's important to you. Just go onto your phone and check how many hours you spend on there. And if you're spending that scrolling through social media and maybe engaging with people that are not important to you, then maybe, you know, you should kind of cut that out. And
Let's touch on the topic of new perspectives that came out of traveling. You mentioned that you had been traveling a certain way, but then your traveling changed. So I think around 2017, 2018, and can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. One thing that I realized that I was missing was community. And that, you know, when you travel, you meet amazing people, but often the conversations and the friendships kind of stay on a surface level. And for me, I was missing that because I didn't have my friends from home because I was traveling. So having a community and having closer relationships and friendships was something that I was really lacking. And the idea to slow things down and to be able, you know, to stay in a place longer and bond deeper and build more meaningful connections was important to me, and kind of changed the way I traveled as well. Like I used to in the past just travel a lot and wanting to see a lot of places and do sightseeing and stuff like that. And now it's more about building community and connecting with people and really bonding deeper relationships.
And you're really also really active in that regard, right? So you're trying to set up or organize little gatherings in the places where you are. And I find that really beautiful because I think a lot of long-term travelers can relate to that. In the beginning, you're really like hyped and you love to go to a lot of places and travel around all the time. You love not having a home base because you're so free. But then after a while, I guess all these things kick in. You're probably missing community and deeper connections, as you said. You maybe get bored of the, or annoyed even with the, like basically always the same questions every day. People would ask you the same question. Hey, what are you doing? How long have you been here? Where do you come from? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh gosh, I can't hear it anymore. So I can so much relate to the community idea. And talk us a little bit through the things that you facilitated and organized in Thailand and elsewhere in the world.
Yeah, so when I got to Chiang Mai, I had this idea. I didn't even realize that there are such things as co-living and co-working. I mean, I knew co-working, but I didn't know co-living. And, you know, I started doing yoga and I went to some meetups and stuff like that. And I was just thinking, how amazing would it be to have a house and invite all the people that I enjoy hanging out and just live together, kind of like a shared house, and live together and work together and support each other. And that was something, yeah, I was just super interested in. And so I started looking more into what kind of co-livings are out there in Thailand and other places. And for me, it seemed like a lot of the kind of companies that offer co-living, it was often focused on partying and adventure, and which is not a bad thing, but it was just not what I was looking for. I was looking for people that enjoy living a healthy lifestyle and mindfulness and take care of themselves. And so in 2018, I also went back to Germany and I met a guy called Oliver, and he was super interested in my idea. And he was saying, why don't we do a pilot project and just organize a co-living, a mindfulness co-living, co-working retreat together? And he was, he does like language exchanges, and he has some schools in Germany and brings people from all over the world to Germany to learn German and to also do excursions and stuff like that. So he had the facilities. We found a co-working space. So we decided to bring a group of people from all over the world to Germany, and we hosted like a 1-month mindful co-living and co-working retreat. And it was just amazing to run this project and to have people on this retreat, and we grew almost to like a family within such a short time. And even here in Mexico, I met one of the guys that was on the retreat, and in Bali, I met a few girls that were on the retreat, and we are all still in contact, even though that was like 2.5 years ago or something like that. And I did have the thought of starting a company similar to something like Wi-Fi Tribe or Hacker's Paradise or something like that, where you go with a group of people and you travel around together going to different places. But then I also realized that, you know, and I think that's what a lot of self-employed people have, is like shiny object syndrome, where you have all these amazing ideas and you can't really focus on something. And I knew that having co-living and co-working retreats, that's a full-time business. That's nothing I can just do on the side. So we kind of stopped thinking about starting that company. We were almost about to start the company for it, but then we decided not to. And so now what I do, for example, in Thailand, I've organized like a content creation trip with people who just want to, you know, be creative. And I've organized masterminds. I've done women's circle here in Mexico. Tonight we're having a Skillshare, and tomorrow I'm organizing a co-working day. So I'm still doing the community building, and I love meeting other people and organizing events. It's just now that I do like something that is maybe for a few hours or maybe like a day. As I said, for example, tomorrow we're having a co-working day where we just meet up, co-work, network, have some lunch together, work some more, and that's it. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's amazing what kind of people you meet. And it's the work that I really enjoy. And no matter if it's with people that work remotely or creatives, it depends on where I'm doing it and who I'm doing it with, but it's always just magical to meet people and to have, you know, friendships coming out of that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, that's truly amazing that you're still on it, and that you, despite of all your cool work, still make the time to organize these things. But I guess again, it comes down to your priorities, and
yeah.
I love talking about community because I feel this is something that we probably could all need more of these days. It's really weird with this like online world and Zoom world we're in at the moment. Mm-hmm. On one hand, there is more community evolving, but then again, I feel that so many people are lacking community and are looking for community. So
yeah,
it's definitely a good job that you're doing. Yes.
Thank you. I definitely have people reaching out to me on Instagram and saying, hey, you know, I feel lonely and I'm lacking community and stuff like that. And yeah, like technology is amazing, right? And obviously with Corona and COVID, it's more difficult to meet up in person, but we need that kind of you know, being together in person and that kind of connection. And I think it's so important to do so and to connect with other people. Yeah.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah. So I will link to your website and your Instagram in the show notes. So people who are curious about where you are right now and where you're going next, they will be able to see that. And then they will also be informed if there's any new community happenings, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. Good.
Yeah.
I love that. Traveling and mindful living. And yes, that's definitely the vibe of this podcast, you know, freedom, living a freedom lifestyle, but combining that with a mindful way of living. And yeah. I find that super, super important. It speaks to my core. And yeah, again, I'm super happy to talk with you about that.
Thank you.
Let's go a bit deeper, touching on home base. So community is one thing. And you probably could even say, okay, home base is like the evolution of the community or the pinnacle then. And I mentioned it before, it's interesting because it seems to be an aspect that comes up after a few years of lots of traveling and living nowhere permanently. And it's something that I've experienced and apparently something that a lot of us travelers or nomads are longing for after a while. So what makes you long for a home base?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just I've been traveling for almost 6 years now. And, you know, you always come to a new place. You always come to a new home. So one aspect is definitely the housing itself. I'm starting a company now in Bali, and it's the first time in the past 6 years that I'm committing actually to a place and setting up a company and getting a residency and also getting a long-term rental there. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. And yeah, it just now thinking of it gives me this feeling of grounding. And I'm so excited to know that I have a home and that I have a place where I can like drop my bags down and I can unpack. And it's simple things. Like I was telling you when we spoke before the podcast, I was traveling this year with my own blender. And
an important thing to do.
It's important things, right? It's about setting priorities. Yes. But it's, yeah, you get into an Airbnb or some sort of place that you rent and you have salt and pepper and that's it. And I enjoy cooking a lot. And it's nice to know that I'm going to have a place where I can buy the things that I want for cooking, let it be, you know, like olive oil and salt and herbs and all that stuff. And even having a smoothie blender and know that I can, you know, make that and having my own kitchen. And then one thing that I really want to do is designing and doing like interior design. I've started an Airbnb before and I really enjoyed designing that place. So that's something that I really enjoy. So, but now going more into the deeper things, it's definitely having deeper connections with people, because most people, or not most people that I've met traveling, but the friendships that I've built with people that are more long-term now, they're all thinking or already now in Bali, like either thinking of coming to Bali or they're already there. And to know, I mean, when I travel, I can meet, like, for example, one of my friends, I met her this year in Thailand, and then we were both at Bali, and then we were both in Berlin. But, you know, having a home base and we're all there, and we're kind of, if we travel, we go for a month away and we come back to the same place, is really nice to have, and to have that kind of consistency of friendships. And yeah, I think maybe the last part is that when you travel a lot, for me, there goes a lot of brain energy into finding a place, booking flights, finding the restaurants you like, figuring out how to get around, and like all these things, right? You come to a new place, the new currency is like all these things that you need to learn about the place, where if I come back to Bali, I already know where I'm going to go if I want to go to a restaurant, and I know where to get my scooter. You know, in Bali, everyone has a guy for everything. You have your scooter guy, you have your coconut guy, you have your jamu guy, like you have all these different people. And it's just nice to have these, how do you say, familiarity?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Familiar faces and familiar places. And yeah, I think most people get to a point at some point of traveling, they get to a point where, you know, that's what you're craving.
Oh, thank you for your insights. And
of course,
I think this can really be, or this can be really helpful for people listening who are maybe new to this traveling thing, traveling long term, not living anywhere really. It's, you know, guys out there, it's okay to feel like that after a while. We all do, apparently, and it's okay to admit that you're longing for a home base.
Yeah.
Because I think that might also be sometimes an inner obstacle, right? To feel like, but I thought I'm that traveler and I'm that freedom lover, and why I can't go and settle down somewhere. Yes, you can. It's not like mutually exclusive freedom and having a home base. You can still live your freedom.
I think once you admit that to yourself, you're giving yourself actually more freedom. You're giving yourself more space and more freedom. And yeah, like I definitely had that same mindset of I'm that traveler, and I thought I'm going to travel my whole life. And I think to make that commitment and settle down, you know, it's a freedom in itself to be able to make a commitment to have a home base somewhere, and to have that freedom to actually decide where you want to have a home base. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And yeah, it took me definitely some time to understand that that's what I'm actually craving and that's what I want.
I loved how you said that it can actually create more freedom.
Yeah.
And I think it was Matthew McConaughey. I watched like a motivational speech or something of him a while ago, and he said, decrease your options. And that's how you create freedom. And I was like, it's so true. Decrease your options. Often freedom is not about doing all and having all, but it's actually about, you know, taking that of the thousands of options, or those options that you really want to go for, and decrease so you can focus and create more freedom within that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And one more thing I wanted to say that just came up for me is my family has visited me traveling once, and now having the thought of having a house in Bali and being able to say to my parents, you know, come over, come and visit me, and to be able to host them in a way, and to my sister and her wife and the kids, my nieces, and to just say, come here. And, you know, when you're always traveling, it's much harder because you don't have a home. You can't just invite your friends.
Yeah.
So that is something I'm super excited about as well.
Mm. You can be. I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, I had a blog before my website. I had a blog and it was called Cat Sofa. And I came up with the name because I was like, okay, if I don't have like a proper place, a house, a home, I at least want to have a virtual couch where my friends can gather. So it was born out of this exact feeling that, oh man, I want to have a place where I can invite people, where people can come over for a coffee or a glass of wine, but
yeah.
I don't have this
name.
Thank you.
Oh, that's nice. It's that feeling of having, yeah, inviting people, hosting people, making people feel warm, and, you know, having that for sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
I wish you all the best already for your future in Bali. That sounds so amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, you should come and visit.
Definitely. So I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
And it's a question I ask almost all of my freedom lifestylers here. Who inspired you lately?
Who inspired me lately for anything?
Yes, for anything. If there's anyone or anything even that inspired you and you want to talk about that, share that. Yeah.
I'm currently reading a book, and it's a German book, and now I've forgotten the name of the book. Of course. It's a German woman. She does so many different things. She's written her book, which is about kind of unleashing your inner freedom, your wildness. And she's called Frau Herz. And she's a photographer and a designer. And oh, yeah, my partner just brought the book by. So the German title is Von der Magie, deine eigene Heldin zu sein, which is like the magic of being your own hero. And she has a podcast. I'm following her on Instagram, and I've never heard of her before, but reading this book is so beautiful. And she just got a newborn, and following what she's doing. And yeah, I mean, her story is just very inspiring. And
cool.
Yeah, I love, like, every evening I read a little bit of this book, and yeah, her journey with, you know, her own fears, overcoming them and living the life she wants to live is really inspiring to me. So, yeah, I think I would say her, Frau Herz is her name.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think we all live off inspiration, and that's why I love to ask that question. And that's also why I have all of you guys here on my podcast to inspire others out there and to, to motivate them to really follow their dreams and live their freedom and do things differently.
Yeah, I hope I was able to give some valuable insights, and that some of you guys out there feel inspired to follow what, you know, your heart is desiring.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time today, for being here on my show. Virtually, you in Mexico, I'm in Vienna.
Yeah, maybe, thank you so much.
Maybe we make a follow-up. Sorry, you go.
No, you go. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I just said, oh, maybe we make a follow-up in Bali sometime next year. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, and I just wanted to say thank you for having me on the podcast, because I'm always enjoying that, and it's so amazing to speak to you and, you know, also follow your journey. And yeah, hopefully sometime we can either catch up in Bali or maybe have another podcast interview when I'm in Bali or something like that. Yeah,
that's a good idea. Thank you so much again.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation around digital nomadism and mindful living and how to combine these two, and you're inspired to tune in to yourself more and to maybe finally start following your dreams, taking that step and or taking that leap of faith and doing what you love and going where you want. Thank you again so much, Christina. I think you're a great inspiration. You're an inspiration to me, and I'm sure that you're an inspiration to those people listening as well. If you liked this episode, if it has kickstarted something inside you, let us know. Comment on our Instagrams or send me an email. You find all links, all connections to us in the show notes. So just scroll down or have a look at the episode page. And also, if you liked this episode, please share it on your social media. You know, take a screenshot when you're listening or do a little screen record. Share it with friends and your community and tag us. Tag Christina and me. And that is super, super important. And I'm so thankful for that, because this really helps to grow the listenership, to inspire new listeners and to create more freedom in this world. And that's what we want, especially in these times, right? So thank you again for tuning in, and I'm wishing you a wonderful weekend, and to all of you in the US, happy Thanksgiving.